All right. Well, look, it's Christmas season, as we know, and isn't this beautiful? Sometimes I just want to sit out there and look at it and minister, but I'd get distracted. But there are people that don't like this. Did you know that? Huh? There's just people that don't. They say the Christmas trees are pagans. You know, it came from the pagans. And they ridicule some of these things. I ran on. I told you Wednesday night, some of you on Wednesday that were here, that I ran on to a man and I wished him Merry Christmas. And he said, oh, we don't celebrate Christmas because I'm Jehovah's Witness. And I said, well, we celebrate Jesus Christ because I'm Christian. So I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to let you have the day. I'll just give it back to you. So don't be silent when people dismiss your Lord. Amen. So because Jesus coming to earth was the greatest event in history. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. I am just so glad that we live on this side of his birth and this side of the cross and this side of the resurrection. Yet we are still on this side of the of his coming back. And yet there were people back in B.C. Aren't you glad we didn't live B.C.? That we had to look forward to the cross and forward to his birth and didn't have a clue what that meant. It was just an act of faith to wait on it. And I know, you guys, I know there's a lot of commercialism. I mean, my goodness, it's loaded downtown in the stores. But I say, you know what? It's Christmas season. They may not know what they're celebrating, but I will say 99.9% of the people know exactly what's going on. They know what we're celebrating, and they're celebrating it with us because they love what they feel in this season. There is something different about this month. And the closer it gets, the more you feel that in your heart and in your mind. And there's a joy and there's a peace. I don't care what you're going through. Sister Kathy's going through that this morning. But there's going to be a joy. Excuse me. Way down deep in her heart, in spite of it all. But let me say, in spite of all the commercialism, we're going to praise him anyway. And we're going to celebrate anyway. Call it commercial if you want. But I'm getting ready to tell you something that a lot of people won't tell you. I'm going to talk to you about the Christmas tree. I'm going to talk to you about the ornaments. I'm going to talk to you about all these lights. I'm going to talk to you about the star. I'm just going to talk to you about Christmas. And we're just going to call it Merry Christmas. Because we can and we will and we always have. But see, church, it's all wrapped up in John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave. That's what we're going to do is give. Christmas is a season of giving and receiving. He gave his son, why? In exchange for our sins. To take away our sins, he gave his only begotten son. And then in 2 Corinthians 9:15, this is one of my favorite verses. I preached this maybe, I don't think last year, but a couple of years ago. Thank God, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now listen, the New King James says it uses the word indescribable gift. But the Old King James says this, an unspeakable gift. He says, I don't even know what to say about it. It was like, and the Aramaic says the same thing. The original Greek, the unspeakable gift, translated indescribable. Well, if you can't speak about it, you can't describe it either. So we'll go a little bit here, but I just want to thank God for this unspeakable gift. He started it all. He started Christmas. You say, well, Christmas didn't start until the 1400s or 500s or whatever. Say what you want. I don't care what theory or, you know, what theological debate. I'm not going to debate anything with you. I'm just going to give you the word of the Lord this morning, as I always do. And I say thank God for his indescribable gift. Now, I'll tell you this. You say, with that young man, he says, we don't celebrate because I'm witness. Well, I'll say this, church. Throughout our Bibles, especially if you go into the Old Testament, they had feast after feast. They had like 9 feasts through the year. They had feast after feast. And when we went to Israel, we went, I think it was October 17th, about 5 years ago. And we went right during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I knew a little bit about it, not much, but you know, I'm a studier, so I knew a little bit about the Feast of Tabernacles, but to see it, it was the most amazing thing. As we drove down the I don't know if they were highways or roads or streets, but as we were riding down through Jerusalem, especially in Bethlehem, you would see what they called shelters. And they were, because they were remembering when they came out of Egypt's bondage and the death angel passed over, they were celebrating like the Passover, but it was the Feast of Tabernacles when they remembered actually journeying through the wilderness. That's what they were remembering there in October, that they were journeying through the wilderness. And every one of them, their homes, all of their homes, they built what they called a sukkot, or sukkot. In America, we call it sukkot. But it was called there the shelters. And so they would build a little shelter. It looked like it might be a 10 by 10 right out on the patio, or you could see this little shelter as we drove by over their fence, or over there in Israel, it's a lot of blocks, that Jerusalem stone block. And as we drove by, you would see the top of these little shelters, and they were to remember. See, God gave them specific instruction on how to build these, and every year you build that shelter to remind yourself you once lived in the wilderness with nothing. Now, they don't even go into their house. They live out there. They have some fruits and things that they bring out. But I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing. So they celebrated, and when we got to the hotel, even in the hotel, they had a little shelter built inside the hotel. And I'm telling you, you talking about decoration, this doesn't look like anything. I mean, they had streamers and lights upon lights. They celebrated according to God's word. God told Moses, here's how I want you to celebrate this. Listen, he said, here's what I want you to have for dinner. I want you to celebrate this Passover with this dinner and this drink. And I'm telling you, it was not light. It was something that you had to memorize over the years. And they still do it today. Many in America have caught on and do it too. But I believe that's Old Testament. We celebrate Jesus' coming as a baby to the manger. And everything that happened after that. So we knew that those feasts. And listen, he would tell them to feast and have a big old party where they didn't go to work. And they cooked all this food. And they were with family. They stayed home. They rested. They partied. They had music. They sung songs about the Passover. Everything that we pretty much do here, they partied. Like that for 7 to 10 days. Now we have a month. And we come to church once a week on the day of the Lord, Sunday morning, and we celebrate together. This morning, you and I celebrated. We sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And you're looking at all this. And we did this for Jesus. We celebrate him so you can see and you can enjoy sitting there in his presence this entire month. Hallelujah. So he gave them instruction, and I'm giving you instruction because now I understand the way they celebrated those feasts much better than I did before we went over there and I saw those shelters. I mean, they went way overboard. If you want to know the truth, it looked like they had, but it was the instructions God gave them. So you say, I don't know, Pastor, this looks like a lot. Oh, no, no. You just go to Israel and see what they do at God's command. And so we came celebrating, but ever since I was there, I loved the lights and the stars. And I couldn't find the star to my tree, David. We couldn't find that star in my entrance tree. And so we got to, either I'm going to go buy one, or we got to get that star up there. I will not have a tree without a star. And Sarah, you got to get one too. And I don't know what yours is this year, but look at that star. I think I'll start with that because that's the first thing that the shepherds, first thing that the wise men saw. So let's go to Matthew 2 and 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, I'll start with verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. Now, you don't get there overnight, coming from Judea to Jerusalem. So they had already heard he was there. So it took them a while to get there. But look at verse 2, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his what? We saw his star in the east, and have come to worship him. I mean, far east. They came from the far east. Like 2 years later. It took them a long time to get there. And when Herod the king heard this, he was very troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Now look, they didn't really know. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall become a ruler who will shepherd my people. So they knew he would come out of Bethlehem, but look at verse 7. Now Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, now you go search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, see, they knew he was going to be a baby because of Isaiah's writings, that he will be born by a virgin, and you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. I read that last week. I read to you all the prophecies and gave you the fulfillments. Okay, so they knew he would be this king. The Savior of the world would be a baby. That was unique in its own way. You bring him back so I can worship him too. But these men of God had wisdom, and they knew this king was wicked. In verse 9 it says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. So they followed the star all the way through the land, all the way through the desert. Verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Okay, stop right there. So I'll just take that beautiful star up there, and then we've got the star on that tree and a star over here on this tree. But I want you to look at that star. I don't know how big that star was in the sky, you know, but they saw it and they followed it. And Herod said, hey, what time did that star appear to you? What time did that appear? What time? And they didn't give him a clear answer, but they said he would be come out of Jerusalem, out of Bethlehem. But I want to tell you, ask you the same thing. What time in your life did that star appear to you? You had a star that appeared to you, not as a star like that, but it appeared to you as his glory. It appeared to you as his convicting power. It appeared to you as his presence. And probably not one of us knew it, but we felt something different in us. And this star appeared to us when? Immediately when we gave our hearts to the Lord. That's when we got acquainted with the star. And we started following the star. And you and I have been following that star ever since we met him. Renee, I remember your daddy coming in here just before he died, and he brought all of you, your whole family, in here with him. And he started following the star, and he never went back. And then you guys came, and you started following the star. The reason Linda's here, and Kathy Lewis is here, and Niles is here, is because they're following the star. And that star is not up in the sky. It's in their heart, and it's in their mind. And he's in their spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. And it is his glory. And you just can't help but follow him when you love him. Amen? Woo, hallelujah. So, look at this. Verse 10 says, they saw the star and they rejoiced. And verse 11 says, and then when they came into the house, now it's not in the cave anymore. It's not in the manger. They came into the house. They saw the young child. Now he's a child, not a baby. He's a child because he's like, most scholars say, about 2 years old now. Saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Doesn't mention Joseph now. We don't know why. And fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we're just going to leave that there, and we'll talk about the gifts later. But verse 12, them being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. What is that saying to us? That once you meet the star, the presence of the Lord, and you begin to follow him, you don't ever go back out into the world. You don't return and go back another way from his way. You always stay with his way. And that star will lead you in the places that you are put here on this earth for such a time as this to accomplish your purpose in this earth. So you will never go back another way. Jesus said, my people don't follow a stranger. Remember in John 10? He said, my people hear my voice. And another voice they won't hear. And they follow me, and a stranger they won't follow. Oh, man. Well, these guys followed that star. And I want to tell you what I heard this week. This one pastor said, I saw him online. It was so pitiful. I just thought, dear Lord, that man needs a vacation. They need to send him off to Africa and a one-way ticket. He said, as for me and my church, well, that was number one wrong. My church, it wasn't his church, it's Christ's church. He said, we won't get caught up in this commercialism of Christmas. We need to give Christmas a rest. And that's what we're going to do at my house, he says. We're going to stop something like this. We're going to stop all the carols and the decor and our traditional services. We're not going to have any of them. Well, we're going to have some traditional services. We're going to do Christmas carols, and we're going to do candlelight. You say, I'm getting tired of that. We've done that for years. And we're going to keep on doing it until Jesus comes. It's our tradition. In Israel, they had the shelters, and they have all kinds of traditions. But this is what we're going to do. Is just keep on following him. Ooh, Lord help me. And with the decor. And the food, you all are going to take off work. Some of you already have it off, but some are going to have to request to be off work. Melody, do you get off? You always work holidays. Oh, you're off already, okay. But you take off, and you make a lot of food, and you eat good food with your family and your friends, and you give gifts, and you enjoy the blessing of this Christmas time that we're in. So when I heard that pastor say that, what is he doing, church? Listen, he's just plain throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Just throw the whole thing out. Throw this guy away too. He doesn't matter. Well, you say, he's not a baby anymore, pastor. Oh, stop. You know what I'm saying, okay? But he... just throw the whole thing out. No, we're not going to throw the whole thing out. No, we're not going to get caught up into traditional or the commercialism that they have out there. I know we're in the stores, but I still like going through the stores and hearing all the songs they play. I'd rather hear the spiritual side of the Christmas carols, but they're not going to play Silent Night all the time, and they're not going to play Joy to the World, and they're going to play, oh, Mariah Carey has thought out, and so now she's going to do All I Want for Christmas Is You. You know, I don't care. It's Christmas time. At least somebody say Christmas. So we know we're celebrating Christmas. So I just want to tell you, church, just go ahead and have a good old time with Christmas. Decorate your house. And look, if you're single and you live alone, go ahead and buy yourself a Christmas tree. My mother used to say, oh, honey, I don't want no Christmas tree. Just me. I said, yeah, but Mom, we all come over here. Come on. Don't you be an old Scrooge. Don't you be acting that way. So we go buy her Christmas tree and put it up. And my sister, who lives in Visalia, she's totally blind. I mean, totally. And she has been now for about 6 years. And her daughter went and bought her Christmas tree the other day and sent me a picture of it. Decorated it so beautifully. She says, Mom can't see it, but I want her to know she has it. And I thought, that's so sweet that Missy is celebrating Christmas with her mother. Now, this is an unspeakable gift. God said he's unspeakable. I don't even know how to describe him. Maybe I'll try to get into that a little later on. But I just want to talk about some of the, what some might call ridiculous decorations, but I think they're awesome. I just think they're awesome. I already talked to you a little bit about the star, but let me talk to you about the lights. Does anybody else love lights as much as I do? Oh, yeah. Any time of the year, any time of the week, any time of the month, in the evening, at night, you can drive down Olive Avenue. You get to that corner, guess what you're going to see? A light coming through the top window. And it's that little, the big old chandelier we have on the top. And from the very beginning, I said to the board, we got to have a light in the window. And that chandelier lights up so beautifully and shines right through the top. And so many in the neighborhood will see me and say, I just love that light up there that shines when I come to the corner when I'm going home. So if you haven't seen it, drive by some evening. That's always there. One night, Brother Roman came, his guys came and put up a little bunch of lights around the portico. Okay, if I had my way, I'd just have them running all the way down the fence. You know, I mean, I got thousands of lights at home that I've collected over the years. And my lights, my house is so lit up. The fence is lit up. I've got a fence just like this, and it's just draped. I think it's very pretty. But you know what? The people I had put it up this year, they're kind of crooked. But I love them anyway. You know, I just like, she said, well, send me a picture of it. I thought, honey, you're not going to want to put this online. But I sent her a picture because I love them anyway. You know why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. And he said, you are the light of the world. And John, in John chapter 1, we could go over there, and the people said about John, they said, John is not the light, but he was sent to be a witness of the light. And it says that he came to this earth as the light, and he said, Christ, his life is the light, and his life is the light. The light is the light of men. Listen, that's what lights us up. That's what lights you up. That's what draws people to you. And they see you're a little bit different. Something, yeah, you know, I like being near you. I like, why? Because he put that life in you. And he said, that's the light of men. I put the light there. And the light, you know, it shines in darkness. The light shines in darkness. If you go to the jewelry store, you know that, you want to buy a diamond, what are they going to do? They're going to put it on black velvet. They're going to put it on the darkest thing they can find, black velvet, put that little diamond there, put a light on it, and I mean, it just shines. Okay? That's who we are in this darkened world, and don't you forget it. That's why every light up here, I say, light it up. Just light it up. More the better. The better, the better, the better. More lights. Jesus is the light. And you're the light. We're the light. Hallelujah. We could go over there. And the Bible says we'll go. We won't turn. But remember in Luke, when the shepherds were out in the field, what were they doing? Keeping watch over their flocks by night. And it says, a light shone, old King James, S-H-O-N-E, a light shone round about them. And when they saw the light, the angels start singing. What was it? It was the glory. Okay, so everything that we are looking at today, everything that you do revolves around that indescribable gift, that unspeakable gift, the star that leads us, the light that's in us. For Christians, it's all about that. It's all about Him. I know it's that all year long. We celebrate Him all year long. But you think I'm going to celebrate their birthday and my baby's birthday and not celebrate when He came? You say, it's not His birthday. I don't know when His birthday is, but we're just going to celebrate His coming. Amen? Come on, we're just going to celebrate who He is. Hallelujah. Also, light up that tree, folks. Just go ahead and light it up. Isaiah 60 says, listen to this, talking to Christ in advance, like another prophecy, Isaiah, through God's word, says, arise, shine. Why? Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. His glory will be seen upon you. Talking about Jesus. And there's more and more scriptures over the New Testament that not only contribute that to Jesus, but also give it to us, that says, you rise and you shine because your light has come, and my glory will be seen on you wherever you go. Until you leave this earth and go there, my glory will be seen, hallelujah, upon you. All right, want to go a little farther? How about the ornaments? You say, oh, this ought to be good. Oh, it is. I'll bet you're going to be surprised to see this. I've always loved it. Our pastors put us on the book of Proverbs years ago. And he would want to read us to read it every time there was a 31-day month. So we would read it. And I remember the first time I saw Proverbs 1, 8, and 9. Kathy, put that up, lest they don't believe me. Proverbs 1, 8, and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Why? For they will be a graceful what? Ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now, we just read the law, or the word of your father, and the instruction of your father, and the law of your mother. Now, how many of you ever remember as you were younger, maybe in high school, and you were going to go do something you knew you shouldn't do, and you felt that chain around your neck from your mother? Now, it says dad's word will be an ornament, for they will be an ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Our parents' instruction have kept us over and over. And for those of you that didn't have a good father and didn't have a good mother, you say, boy, I hope they didn't decorate me. Well, that's up to you. You know him now. So now who's decorating you? Who's putting the ornaments on your head? It's your father. It's your heavenly father. It's Jesus himself. It's the Holy Spirit. And he said, I've decorated you. I just want you to know that. You've got ornaments on your head. You've got ornaments on your life. So now you've got a star that's leading you. You're all lit up. I mean, if we could be seen, we would just have light, strings of lights all in us and through us and on us. And now you've got ornaments, just like a Christmas tree, ornaments all over you. Okay, I'm about finished here. But I want to talk to you about the tree itself. Okay, you can look in Peter, you can look in the book of Acts, and every now and then it will say Jesus died upon the tree. He died upon the tree. And then people will say, well, he died on a tree, Pastor. He didn't die on a cross. No, he did die on the cross. He was just talking when it calls it a tree, the old King James Version or Aramaic. It's just talking about the wood that came out of the tree. Amen? Yeah, just the wood that came out of the tree. So they did the cross beams and hung him there. But whenever they crucified him, you know the story. Everything went dark from 1 o'clock in the afternoon until 3 in the afternoon. From 1 to 3, 3 hours, everything went dark. When Jesus isn't around, let me tell you something. When Jesus isn't around, it's going to be very, very dark in your life. The lights will go out. Think about the innkeeper. Do you have anything in common with that innkeeper? When Mary and Joseph went there and they said, "Do you have a room?" "Oh, no, we don't have anything. Just go on out. You can stay out there in the cave." He just shined them on. I just want to say today, don't shine him on like that. Don't put him out. "No, I want to do it my way." No, I wouldn't do that, because it could do a 1 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then that's not going to be cool for you if it goes totally black. Well, it did go totally black. Jesus died, goes into the tomb. While he's yet dead, he's there. We don't know when this happened. But the Bible says that he went to hell and he took back the keys from Satan to death, hell, and the grave. And then it said, listen to this. And then it says, he ascended on high and he took captivity captive. And he received gifts for men. So he got gifts for men. And then it said, I should be reading this to you. Psalm 68, because I know you're going to want to see it. Psalm 68, he even gave gifts. This will help you understand why some of these people in the world are so gifted. You're saying they don't serve the Lord, and yet they are so gifted. How is that? They can sing. They're great leaders. They're great communicators. They're motivational speakers. They're wealthy. They're rich. They know how to get wealth. All right? Look at it. Psalm 68. You'll never forget this. 68:18. Look, 68:18. "You have ascended on high, and you led captivity." That was the righteous people who were holy in the Old Testament, but that was called paradise. So they were kept in this holding place because Jesus had not yet gone to heaven and got his glorified body. So they couldn't go into heavenly places, so they were stuck right here in paradise. "So you led captivity," those who were in captivity, "you led them captive, you took them with you to heaven, and you have received gifts among men," even, look at this, it says "from," but the original Greek says "for the rebellious, that the Lord might dwell there." So you received gifts and you gave some to even the rebellious and even those who wanted no part of you. And that's how they are so gifted. But one day they will say, "Lord, I did this, I did that, I did that." And he'll say, "I didn't even know who you were. I gave that gift to you, hoping that you would use it for me. You had a choice. You could have used it for me, but you didn't." And so here you've got a mighty outpouring that Jesus did. He went right into, and that's debatable too. I mean, if you read 4 or 5 theologians or Bible scholars, they'll say it's in Sheol. It's a department in Sheol. And Jesus went there and took these holy souls out of that place. But others say it's between here and heaven. Paradise is a place. Remember, and I'll say this and I'll move on. But remember when the beggar died and the Bible says he looked up and he saw Abraham and he saw the old beggar that used to sit at the church or the temple. And that beggar would sit there begging. And there's many times that I'm sure this rich man walked right over the top of him. Didn't give him a penny. And so the Bible says that the rich man died and went to Hades. The poor man died and his soul went to paradise. So the rich man sees Abraham and he sees the beggar in Abraham's bosom. And he says, oh, Father Abraham, please send that beggar just to bring me a little bit of water. I don't need a whole cup full. Just have him bring a little drip of water and place it on my tongue. And if he does, it'll quench my thirst. And Abraham says to the rich man, he says, I can't answer that, because he said, I sent my son. He didn't use that words, but he said, you've had the other prophets come to you and you didn't hear them. You certainly wouldn't hear if Lazarus came, the little beggar came to you. And he said, besides that, there's a gulf between us. There's a gulf, and you can't cross over to come here, and we can't cross over to go there. So I would say paradise was a place in heaven, but the Bible says after Jesus went to hell, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, he also went to paradise, and there were spiritual souls like Moses and Abraham and the mighty men and women of God who died totally in love with Jesus or with God himself. And he said, you're captive, but now you're free. You can come with me. That was after the resurrection. So he went there and took those souls with him. So I'll move on. He said during that time that he received gifts for men. But when you get over to Ephesians, you'll see that he gave gifts two men. So he starts passing out the gifts. And that's when you look at your Christmas tree and you just see gifts all around it for your family. And I know not everybody, you've got a small family or it's just you and you're not going to have that. But you can take a little gift to your neighbor. You can do something. You can give somewhere. Just make sure you give a gift on behalf of Jesus and who he is. That indescribable gift. It'll make you feel good and bring healing to you. So Jesus then passed out gifts, the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit, severally, as he wanted to, as he will. So he just gave whatever he wanted to give. You know, to some, he has the ministerial gifts, or the fivefold, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists. But then he has all the other gifts, the gift of helps and administrations and healings and miracles and tongues. An interpretation of tongues. And then it says this, if you have the gift of prophecy, then prophesy. If you have the gift of exhortation, just kind words to somebody, then exhort. If you have the gift of generous giving and hilarious giving, then give. That's your gift. Not everybody has the same gift, but many of us have many gifts. You have many gifts. So he says, I just give all kinds of gifts. And then, you know, these guys, look at him. These guys came and they brought gold and silver and frankincense and myrrh, and they laid it down. They didn't just, was this little guy going to spend that? He couldn't do it. So mom and dad are blessed because of the baby, because of God's son. And now you and I are blessed. And the Bible says men would give into our bosom because of who he is, and because of the star, and because you're a light. Ooh, doesn't this just grow and grow and grow? And you got ornaments hanging all over your head, and all over your heart, and all over who you are. And now you've got gifts. And when you see those gifts under the tree, you just think of those gifts that he's given you. When you see that star, you say, that's just the symbol of the star I follow, Jesus. When you see those lights, oh, that's just symbolic of how I look when I walk down the street, and you don't even feel like it. I heard, dear Lord, I'm not lit up. Oh, yes, you are. I'm just telling you, you are. Oh, yeah. Look at the star, it's symbolic. Look at the lights, they're symbolic of him. And then he said, you're the light of the world. Look at the ornaments. If your natural parents, they may have given us ornaments. I can see things that my daddy put in me that are little ornaments in me, my mother. But I can see my heavenly father, and I don't even know what he's done, but neither do you. But he has just made you beautiful and put ornaments on you, and he's put gifts under the tree. But see, listen, if there was no tree, we would have no gifts. Amen? No. You have to have the tree. If you don't have the tree, you don't have any gifts. Because if you didn't have the tree, Jesus didn't die on the tree. He didn't die on the tree. He didn't get resurrected. He had to die before he could be resurrected. And he had to go to hell for you and me so we wouldn't go there and take back the keys to everything so we wouldn't get locked up down there. And then he said, look, I've gotten rid of paradise. Okay, don't let certain groups of people tell you there's paradise. No, that's over. Jesus went there and he freed the captives and he said, now they're all in heaven with me. And they're waiting to be reunited with their bodies somewhere in the earth. And our loved ones, we're waiting for them. Our souls, if we're in the ground, will be caught up there. Okay. So I just wanted to give you a little word to be proud of what you have in your house. And be proud of what you see when you go to town. Because those wise men brought gifts. Don't be too humble that you cannot receive a gift. For years, until I started going to church, my daddy and my brothers, they would not receive a gift. I mean, they just couldn't. You could offer my dad $1,000 and he'd just fight you. I just can't take it. No, I can't. No. Wouldn't take it. My brothers, the same way. My daddy would try to give them money. I guess he thought you needed it, Linda, but they wouldn't take it. No, you're not doing it. You worked hard. No. But we give and we receive. We give and we receive. And you watch what happens. You, just like Mary and Joseph, will receive. So I just want to tell you, we celebrate Jesus. And you can see it all over this church. You can see it outside. And see him when you go to the mall. See him when you go to Save Mart. See him when you go to the post office. I told our little school the other day, I said, look, you guys, you got to have Christmas out there. We got one more week to go. I don't care. I want Christmas out there. I want lights. I want trees. I want stuff on the walls. And our little kids' world out there, every Sunday until Christmas, they should see Christmas. They should see Jesus. Amen. You start their Christmas carols now. So I just want to tell you, as you're standing with me this morning, please stand. Go ahead and take off work if you can. And share a big meal because God wants you to. He wants us to celebrate this great feast. We don't call it a feast in the New Testament, but it was a great event. And you celebrate with joy and laughter with your friends and family. Hallelujah. And you don't draw back for 1 minute in celebrating that unspeakable, indescribable gift. And be aware, all week, when that star is leading you, Be alert when he's leading you, when you're lit up. Father, thank you for what you've given us today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his beautiful face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face toward you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.